All right, so here we are. So Hilchos Mezuzah, you have the source sheet available. So just the main text, just to introduce it. So as in the past, obviously the Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kelim are very important. And then on Mezuzah, there is a sefer called the Chovas Hadar. The Chovas Hadar is the, a pretty small sefer here. It is written by Rav Bloy, Rav Yaakov Bloy, who was has a story in his own right. He was like a banker, and he started asking all these Ribbis questions, and he realized nobody could answer any. We dealt with him. He was the one who wrote the Torah's Ribbis when we learned Hilchos Ribbis. And he wrote a whole long set on Pisrei Choshen, called the Pisrei Choshen on all of Choshen Mishpat. Which is really an encyclopedia, probably the strongest encyclopedia on monetary law. And then he wrote this little sefer called the Chovas Hadar. So when I got into, the mezuzah business, I came to Hilchos Mezuzah in the first place when I was in yeshiva, and Rabbi Baruch Simon gave a shiur on a couple of sort of the things you need to know about Hilchos Mezuzah, like two shiurim on it, and mentioned, when people move into town, it would be a good thing if rabbis could go to their house in order to show them where all the mezuzahs should go. So I was like, oh, that's a good idea. So let me learn this a little bit more. And besides learning a little bit more, I also put a little advertisement when I was interning in the RJC that I'm willing to come to your house to make sure all your mezuzahs are in the right place. And at that point, I was still commuting to yeshiva every day. So any question that came up, this was before the days of taking a picture and just WhatsApping, sending a WhatsApp to somebody, or taking a video and sending it to somebody. So I used to come in and discuss all these issues with Rav Baruch Simon. So I learned much of Hilchos Mezuzah with him. And this Sefer Chovas Hadar is the Bible. Now, the person I work with often, Moshe Gantz, known as the mezuzah doctor, so he paskins everything like the sefer, the Chovas Hadar. In fact, he actually knew the person. He would go to Israel and actually had a relationship with Rav Bloy, where he figured out all of the details in Hilchos Mezuzah. So therefore, he paskins everything, bein l'chumra, bein l'kula, probably more often l'chumra than l'kula, like the sefer Chovas Hadar. And then a year or two ago, there's been a couple of sfarim that have come out much thicker on Hilchos Mezuzah. So I just picked up one at some point. I think this is because my another supplier I have, he happened to have this on his bookshelf and said, hey, why don't you take that? I'll go buy a different one. So, plus he lives there and I was just passing through. So I think this is what I got. It's much thicker. Actually has much more, pretty much pictures on every page, as opposed to the Chovas Hadar, which has, in the back, it sends you to a couple of diagrams. This is the diagram page in the Chovas Hadar, right? So it's kind of different. And one other source, maybe I'll send this out at some point to you. The Rabbi Baruch Simon wrote a four-page Hilchos Mezuzah, pretty much every topic at least is alluded to in the Chavrusa magazine from September 1991. So there's four pages, well footnoted, everything you need to know. In fact, I was once discussing with the Mezuzah doctor, with Ms. Moshe Gantz, about the Sfarim on Hilchos Mezuzah, and he said, people have asked me if I would write a sefer on Hilchos Mezuzah, and I tell people that if I would write it, it would be very thin. I would just write the principles. I wouldn't get into all these nitty-gritty details. I told them, I think somebody already beat you to the punch. It was Rabbi Simon wrote a four-page article in Chavrusa 30 years ago, and I actually sent it to him, and he hasn't written his four-page sefer yet, so I guess he's satisfied with what Rabbi Simon did. All right, so anyways, that brings us to the beginning of Hilchos Mezuzah. Let's see. So, Simon Reish Pei Hei discusses sort of the Musar, before we, not so much the Halacha, but some of the issues of Shmira, which is somewhat of a controversial area. Second, Hilchos Mezuzah probably more than, I don't know, any other area of halacha, but many other areas of halacha, is prone to the heebie-jeebie issues, right? That there is an idea, and we'll see. It's not a made-up idea. Well, I shouldn't say, there are some who assume that it's no different than any other mitzvah, but most assume that there is some type of shmira aspect, some type of protection aspect that exists with Hilchos Mezuzah. That's more than just the mitzvah, but that there is a protection aspect to it. So therefore, there is this minhag that when things are going wrong, to have your mezuzahs checked. There are, and everybody in the mezuzah business has some kinds, has stories of strange things happening with revolving around people having a mezuzah, apostle mezuzahs up, or upside down mezuzahs up, or all sorts of things of that nature. I've had even a couple of stories happened myself, which maybe we'll share as we go along. So that is certainly a relevant thing, and it also brings out these concerns from people. So I have had requests, emergency phone calls from people, like, when could you come to my house? Like, well, I'm free in a couple. Well, are you free this afternoon? Right, because something is going on. So such things have taken place. All right. Anyway, so let's learn a little bit. So in the Torah it says, "Mitzvahs asi lichtov parsha shema v'yayim shemoa ulekovan al mezuzos haPesach tichsiv uchsavtam al mezuzos beisacha v'yisherecha." So there is a mitzvah to write shema and ayayim shemoa, attach them to the mezuzos of your door. So the actual term, the word mezuzah, is doorpost, right? It's not a mezuzah is really the doorpost. You're writing a cloth on the doorpost. That's what the word mezuzah means. But we colloquially call the parchment itself the mezuzah. So to write these two parshios in, attach it to the mezuzahs of your door, as that's what it says, you're going to attach it to the mezuzahs of your house and of your gates. So the word of your gates, that's an often forgotten word in Hilchos Mezuzos. Most people just think about mezuzahs that go on their houses, but there are halachos of mezuzahs potentially going on gates leading to your houses, or gates leading into cities, and things of that nature. Also, there is some who suggest, hey, wait a second, it says the mezuzahs of your house. Why we put a mezuzah on every door in your house? Maybe just put one on the door to your house. So that we'll probably get to a little bit later on. That was actually, seems like that was actually, might have been the minhag about 1,000 years ago. But the Rishonim all say, no, beisecha is how halacha defines your bias, not necessarily what you colloquially call your bias. Okay. V'tzarechli zahir ba'ma'od, you should be very careful about it, as we say, Chazal komi she'eshlo tefillin b'roshu v'zroo, v'tzitzis b'vigdo mezuzah b'pischo, muchzaku shelo yechate. You should be very careful, because Chazal says that if you have tefillin on your head and on your arm, tzitzis on your garment, and a mezuzah on your doorway, so muchzaku, that's a chazaka that you will not sin. In fact, there are those there are some who are makbid to walk to shul with their talis and tefillin on, if you've ever heard of this, or at least to walk into the room, meaning to put on your talis and tefillin outside. So this is the source for that, meaning to leave the mezuzah, right, your mezuzah on your house with your talis and your tefillin on. So therefore, it's all together. So that's muchzaku shelo chait. Nevertheless, the Darke Moshe here on the bottom points out that if you only can buy one, tefillin would actually outweigh mezuzah. If you have your choice between tefillin and mezuzah, you should go for tefillin over mezuzah, although some suggest that might have only been when they wore tefillin all day. Now when they only, not, as opposed to nowadays, maybe you would go for a mezuzah over tefillin. Either way, if one cannot get both of them, let me know and we'll work something out. So then, mifnei sheyesh b'mezuzah yichudo shal kadosh baruch hu v'tamid bevo uvitzeso yisku yichudo shal kadosh baruch hu, because the mezuzah contains within it the unity of Hashem, and therefore regularly when a person is coming and going, they should remember the unity of Hashem. V'yitein yiraso al panav levilti yechaten, he should have the fear of Hashem on his face so that he won't sin. Okay, so if you take a look here in the Darkei Tshuva, Darkei Moshe, I mean, in Beis, so you see already some of our minhagim here, that harotze leilech, or kasav hamaril, harotze leilech derech chutz le'ir, when a person wants to go outside the city, kishiyotzi aniach yado ala mezuzah v'yomer b'shimcha tel etle, and you should put his hand on mezuzah and say, in your name, so tel etle, it's not a pasuk, and actually is referring to something else, as we'll see in a moment. Why? Ki tal b'gematria kozu. Tal in gematria is kozu. What does that mean? What does that have to do with anything? So if you take a look at the ha'aros, the hagos v'ha'aros on the bottom of the page, those that have the regular Torah on the bottom, so there is lashon piyut, right? This is a language from a piyut, olim biyom machzan. Okay, I'm not sure. It must. I don't think it's not an R Tfilas Tal, right? Musaf Yom Rishon de Pesach. So I looked today. It's not an R Tfilas Tal. Uvimenahage Maharashi Metafim Hey Kasav Alze De Ramos Bekra VeYitin Luchelu Kimi Tal Shemaim. That it hints too that Hashem shall give you from the Tal of the heavens, and Tal is considered to be protection, right? So Hashem shall give you protection from the heavens. Okay. Vezel Lishon Yam Shel Shlomo Uvekabbalah Shemati Sheshim Hatal Hu Begematria Hashem Echad. Okay, Shashem Hatal is Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad, I didn't figure this out, 13, but 18, Hatal, oh, I guess Hashem Yudke Vavke Echad is the same as Hatal. Okay. V'tovu l'tfilas haderech laniach ha'gudal al mizbeh ala mezuzah v'lomar b'lachishu v'kedusha v'kisui paneha b'shimcha tel etzleh gil pamim v'akol b'gematri Hashem hu elukim. You need to put your finger on the mezuzah and say this idea. Right, Ubisefer Yosef Ometzim and Tuf Nun Dalit, so Flashono, Verisi Avi Moriachasid, Noglasos Ken Gil Pamim, and every time Nashak Es Yado Vinastal Enov. He would kiss his finger and then put it on his eye. So this is what has developed today into Kiss the Mezuzah. You'll find hanging on the door and you'll learn about the mitzvos like you've never learned before. Okay, so that is Dalid. And then Hey is Vuhu Hashem Shekasav Al Mezuzah Mibuchutz. Keneged Shem Arba Osio. So this Kozu, Chaf Vav, Zion Vav, is the written on the outside of a mezuzah, which is opposite the four letters. Q Osios Shnios Achar Osios de Shem Arba Ba'alef Beta. What is he talking about? So Kozu is one, if you take the letter before Chaf Vav, Zion Vav, what do you get? Yud Hey Vav Hey, right? And that is on the back of the mezuzahs. What are you talking about? So if now that I moved all my mezuzah stuff downstairs, I don't necessarily have all this stuff just handy, but here we go. This should work. Okay, so if you look at the back of a mezuzah, right, this is the front of a mezuzah, right, and on the back of a mezuzah, so the Shaddai, Shin Dalad Yud, so that we're used to seeing, but there's also these letters, which people don't see, because it's usually rolled up, right, so that is on the back of the top letter, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So on the back, it spells out, and I don't know why it's upside down, maybe we'll come across that at some point, Chaf Vav Zayin Vav, Beis Mem Vav Chaf Zayin Zayin, Chaf Vav Zayin Vav, that is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, one letter beyond. Why does it help that it be one letter beyond? So that's beyond me. I don't know. I do not have an answer for at this point, but that is the Minhag. The Rambam, we'll get into this also, I think, at some point. The Rambam has a tshuva where he, I think actually even in Mishnah Torah himself, he gets very upset with people that write all sorts of things all over the mezuzah as a form of protection. He says the mezuzah itself should be a protection. But then he says, yeah, but people that write things on the back, like, I guess that's okay. So I have a feeling the Rambam's mezuzahs probably did not have anything on the back. None of the things on the back are ma'akev. When mezuzahs are checked, no one checks the back. I've only one time seen a mezuzah that did not have writing on the back, and that was because the sofer made a mistake and forgot to put it there. So that's not required either. That's also a minhag, and I think we'll get to what the shindal, what that is. Yeah. Okay. Then I think we'll get to where that's mentioned elsewhere. I think in the Sefer HaMezuzah he talks about the Shin Dalad Yud a little bit. Okay.
That phrase that is one letter after does that mean something, or is it just a code?
I think it seems like a code. I don't know why. I don't know what the big secret is. I mean, you're rolling it up anyways, so I don't know. But at least you know. At least you know what's there. Not necessarily, even if we'll get to maybe the reasons. I don't know. I had this in mind for an article in the Jewish Link, but then they stopped printing the Jewish Link, so I've yet to write the article. So when they reprint it, maybe they start printing it again, then it's on the list of things to cover. Okay, so fine. So let's continue on in the tour a little bit. V'chol hizir ba yarichu yama v'yamei vanav. And anybody who's careful about mezuzah, so they'll have longer days and longer days for the children, as it says, l'man yibu yimichem v'nechem. Right, that's the end of Shema. In order for you and your children to have long days. Right, what's the pasuk right before that? Uchsaf tama mezuzos be'secha v'sharecha. So there, it leads right into that pasuk of in order to have longer days. And if you're not careful about it, he says, so then miklal hein ata shemei alav. From what the Torah says positively, you also learn out the negative. Meaning, if you're not careful about it, so that will lead to not having a long life for you and for your children. And that's alcham mesei b'avam mezuzah banav v'nosav shel adam meisim katan d'chsiv. And it quotes psukim to say that if a person's not careful about mezuzah, so their young children could die. Fine. So let's just take a look. We'll do Beis as well, but just take a look here in the Beis Yosef. Where does this come from? So the main sugya about mezuzah is mostly in Menachos, partly in Hilchos, in Maseches Yoma, a little bit in Sukkah. Though that's, I think, the main places where, and there's a little bit above Basra. So those are the four, I guess, main Gemaras where things come up. But here he quotes from Menachos, the main sugya, because the Gemara there talks about the various things in Ketores, or things that are Mizbechos, what is required, meaning if you have part of it, what do you need for the other part? Meaning, is it all or nothing? And certain things are Ma'akim, certain things are not. So Hilchos talks about Tefillin then, right, the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, and then it talks about Mezuzah. So here, the mezuzah, so what is it? It's a quote from Menachos here. It says, Perakako Meitzan, in the Beis Yosef here, Shte Parshios Shemezuzah, Ma'akva Zuetzu, that both Parshios are required, but Filu Kasav Echad Ma'akvan. So that's a little bit of a cryptic word. Even one Ksav is Ma'akiv. So Rashi understands that to mean that every letter is Ma'akiv, meaning who says that you need to have a perfectly written mezuzah by a stam and all the lettering needs to be perfect. Why can't you print it? Whatever. So it's learned out from this that no, it needs to be written in b'kedusha, right, in sanctity, and everything is important. And in fact, Rashi goes on to say, the Gemara goes on to say that v'afilu kotzo shel yud. That's the famous Gemara where it says, and even the coats of the yud, the point of the yud. Now it's unclear what the point of the yud is. It's a three-way machlokas, whether it be the right side point of the yud, the what goes down from the yud, or on the left side there's a point going up and a point going down. So so that's in that Gemara in Maseches Menachos. Okay, and that's all that's really quoted in that Beis Yosef. Okay, so then we go to the back Beis. The house is watched by it, as the pasuk tells us that Hashem will watch it. And Melach Basar Adam mibefnim vavadav shomer mosomi b'chutz, that a human king stays on the inside and his servants guard him on the outside. Vatem, but you yishanim al mitoseichem vakadosh baruch hu shomer eschem mibachutz. But you guys, meaning the Jewish people, they get to lay in their beds and Hashem, the king, stands outside protecting them. V'alkeinesinasa b'tefach hachitzon shehe kol habayis lefnim himeno v'shmirasa. So this is really the first halacha of mezuzah. Therefore, the mezuzah should be on the outer part of the doorway, right? The closest to the outside of the doorway as you can get. Now that gets, there's some details about that, but and we'll cover them again to Shulchan Aruch, but the best example of that is probably the doorway from the lobby in Beth HaMedrash to the coat room of Beth HaMedrash, where there is like that thick passageway, it's about 2 feet long, so the mezuzah is at the front of that way, right, going from the lobby into the coat area, as opposed to in the middle of it, right, because that's this din, that the mezuzah should be at close to the front, and the reason the tour gives, there's two reasons given, essentially the same, that you want to get to the bracha, you want to get to the shmira, you want to get to the mitzvah as soon as possible, so therefore it should be as close to the front of the door as possible. Mikol makom lo yehe kavanas hamakayma elakay mitzvah saburi yisrael shetzivanu aleh. He says, however, even though the mezuzah is for, it gives you this shmira, and there is this shmira aspect, your kavana in doing the mitzvah should not be for protection, but rather it should be for to fulfill the mitzvah. That's what is the most important thing. Okay, so the Gemara, the Beis Yosef here makes a comment, it's really in the Gemara, right? Or really, the way the Torah brings it down is, right, Aleph was all about protecting you, and Beis was all about protecting your house. Right? You saw that? Right? But the Beis Yosef points out that, hey, wait a second, it's a little bit odd to say, right, your mezuzah is going to protect you, it's going to give you long life, and not only, and even more important than that, it will protect your house. Right, so that's a little bit of an odd order there. Right, in fact, something I was listening to and haven't gotten an answer yet, but maybe it might make an appearance in a Yom Kippur drasha, is that it seems like the shkagos are given more weight than the zedonos. Right, that when you mention the alchat a couple of times over the course of the liturgy, right, we mention that. We want our kapar for our zedonos and even for the shkagos, right? The purposeful averus and even for the accidental averus. Wait, why are accidental averus are worse than the purposeful averus? Like, what's going on there? So that requires an answer for Yom Kippur. But this requires an answer for Hilchos Mezuzah. What's going on here? So the Beis Yosef says, Meshum darichas yamim hu neis nistar, v'shmiras habayis hu neis nigla. He says, because having long days, that is a hidden miracle. But Shmira Sabayis, but protecting the house, that is a nes nigla. That is a open miracle. Why? Shadarim bishar batim she'ein behem mezuzah, because the people living in the other houses that don't have a mezuzah, nizukin, they get damaged. Vardar b'vayi she'yesh bo mezuzah, nitzol. He gets saved. So kari l'shmira Sabayis gadol. So therefore, the Gemara refers to as watching the house as greater, because that's going to be a greater miracle. It's going to be seen more openly, right? Now, I don't quite get that. I mean, I don't know. If one lived in Chernobyl during the nuclear meltdown, right, and you were the guy who survived and everybody else died, right, so then maybe that would be a greater nes nigla. But anyways, that's the way the Beis Yosef answers the question, meaning, yes, it's true, your life should be more important than your house, but in terms of the way that this will be demonstrated, so the miracle of a person living will be more... the miracle of a person's house being saved beyond everybody else's will be greater than a person just happening to having a long life. Or he says, Mishum Dishmir Sabayis Hu Hafich Minhag Melech Shalbasar Vidam, Shum Yiftim Avadim Mishramar Wasomi Bechutz Karilei Gadol. Or because of that mashal of the king being on the outside as opposed to the inside, right? So that might also be the reason why it's called greater, because of that mashal. In fact, there is a Yerushalmi, which maybe it's quoted later on, but there's a Yerushalmi, I think Rabbi Yehuda and the Caesar or something were exchanging gifts. So the Caesar gave Rabbi Yehuda a gift, I forgot what it was, and Rabbi Yehuda responded by giving him a mezuzah. So like, Yehuda was given gold and he gives him this mezuzah. So the king's like, this is what I get. So Yehuda says, no, you don't understand how great this is, right? This is gonna, and he gives him this mashal. So we actually learn now from that Gemara that assuming that if you know the guy is going to, if he is going to take care of it, so it's permitted to give or, in some cases, sell a mezuzah to a non-Jew, because you see the Rebbe Yehuda gave it to them, and assuming that they'll treat it properly, they'll treat it properly, so that you could sell to a non-Jew.
Right. I'm thinking also, with a house, you think of the mezuzah as protecting the house, and that's a single thing. A person's health and long lives, there's a lot of other factors going on, so you can't say it's a mezuzah. It could be any of the other things that are going on in his life and the other mitzvahs and everything else. So maybe it's right. Just more directed than anything.
Right, it's true. The truth is the Gemara itself has a machlokas about the first part, meaning even though the Torah puts it as regards to the mezuzah, the Gemara itself says it might be really be referring to the pasuk before the mezuzah. What's the pasuk before the mezuzah? Is umaratem usam espenichem ledabar bam, that you're going to teach your children Torah. They said that might be what's driving the arichas yomim, not necessarily the mezuzah. So that itself is subject to a machlokas anyways. And then you have here at the end is Beis Yosef quoting this idea from Rava that it's a mitzvah to place the mezuzah on the tefach that's closest to Rishus HaRabim. Why? So the Rabbanan say in order that you reach the mezuzah right away. And Rav Tanina Mesura Amar Heichi Tinatre, so that will protect you more. And Rashi says Heichi Tinatare, you'll protect it L'chol HaBayis Min HaMezikin, the whole house from demons or I'm not sure why specifically Mezikin, any type of damaging entity. So that is So I don't know if those two reasons are really different. I mean, you reach the mezuzah first, I'm not really sure what the... why does that help? So I would assume because it gives you the protection. So anyways, so that's that halacha. So let's go to the Shulchan Aruch, which I guess is on page... Michael, post the link again.
Thank you, Rob.
All right. So in the... if you go to page, I think, 4, I don't have the source sheet in front of me, but if you go to page 4... is the page from the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Mitzvahs asei lichtov parsha shema vayam shemoa ulekavam al mezuzos ha-pesach, and to attach it to the mezuzah of your doorway. So first of all, it's interesting that the mitzvah is to write it and then to attach it. Is there really a mitzvah to write it? So the truth is, there is the lumdus of mezuzah, of Hilchos mezuzah, is... I've always had trouble nailing down what exactly is the mitzvah of mezuzah, right? The Torah itself says, "Uksaftam al mezuzos beisach v'isharacha." You should write it. So we normally so how are you fulfilling that? Well, I'm buying a mezuzah in the store. So, well, wait a second. So how does that help? You're not writing it. This is, well, I'm writing it with the shliach. The sofer is my shliach. Really? This mezuzah might have been written before you were born, right? So I never heard of anybody appointing somebody as a shliach. I mean, people have commissioned mezuzahs and things like that. But I never heard that brought down the halacha that a person should specifically, have the sofer have him in mind that he's my messenger to write it. But yet the phraseology of the mechaber is it's a mitzvah to write it and then to affix it. So is there any ramifications to that? So I don't know. And in general, there's a lot of questions about what exactly is the mitzvah of mezuzah. Is the mitzvah of mezuzah to have it on your house, to live in a house with a mezuzah, to attach it to your house, right? And when do you fulfill that mitzvah? And it has ramifications, A, in terms of doing it, and B, in terms of making a bracha. I mean, if you move into a house with the mezuzahs already attached, so do you make a bracha on, I am now living in a house with mezuzahs on the door, or not, or... what's going on there? So some of that will be covered in Shulchan Aruch. Some of it is difficult to really nail down. My father noticed in my house, I recently bought a Yontif present for myself, a book entitled A Bedtime Reading for Briskers, which is sort of the laws of Kachim. It's written by somebody who was in yeshiva with me, actually. But it's the laws it's the laws of Kachim, but sort of like the lighter side of the laws of Kachim, things you could learn from them, and it's actually by the Parsha of the Week. So I noticed the author, again, who's someone who's... I remember him from yeshiva. He also wrote a... he also had written a book previously... I forgot the name of it. Rabbi Ephraim Meth is the name of the author, but about the... I forgot the name of the book, but the subtext, the subtitle is The Lumdus of the Laws of Mezuzah. So that was available pretty cheap on Amazon too, so I bought that, but that didn't arrive yet. So it's in Havertown, but it's not yet out for delivery. So maybe he'll be able to shed some light on it, but it's a little hard understanding exactly what the mechanism is of this mitzvah. So anyways, the Shulchan Aruch continues on and says, right, attach it to the mezuzos of your door. Vitzarach, you should be very careful about it. Anybody who's careful about it will have long days. V'mei vana, and your children, v'im eno zahir ba yiskatsu. And if you're not careful about it, they will be shorted. Adds the Rama, umikol makom, v'im ein yadu masegas liknos tefillin u'mezuzah, yikna tefillin. If you have a choice between mezuzah and tefillin, you should buy tefillin. Why? V'lo mezuzah, the mitzvah shehi chovas ha-gof adifa, because that is a mitzvah on the body, as opposed to the mezuzah, which is a mitzvah on the house. Some have also raised the question, if there's a din of hider mitzvah by mezuzah, maybe you should it should be a mitzvah to have a very nice house, because that adds to the mezuzah, right? So, all right, so Nesina saw, okay, so that is the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shach doesn't really add, okay, so that's good for Sif Aleph. There is actually, there is in the Piskei Tshuva here, where he comments, he says, first of all, he says, Nira, if you see the beginning of the Piskei Tshuva Aleph, he says, well, the ramifications to the fact that the Torah seems to give a reward, he says, Nira she'ein kofen al mitzvahs asei zu, davi mitzvahs asei shematan schara betzedem. That there is a rule, that there is a general principle, that if a person refuses to do a mitzvah in the Torah, Beis Din has the right to beat him up until he does. That's called kafiyah ala mitzvah, to force him to do mitzvah. So if a guy refuses to wear tefillin, so you can beat him up until he agrees to wear tefillin. Right? The most common application of this is giving a get to one's wife. Right? The Beis Din will beat a guy up until he gives a get to his wife. But really it applies to all mitzvahs, except, the Gemara says, when it's a mitzvah shematan schara b'tzeda, when the Torah seems to give a reward in the Torah itself. The Torah tells you what the reward is. But the understanding being, if the Torah itself is giving you, telling you what the reward is, and you're still not doing it, so what's a couple of patches from Beis Din going to do? I'm not sure. People have different motivations. But anyways, that's what the Gemara assumes. So there are a couple of mitzvos that the Gemara makes a point that you can't force a person to do this. One of them possibly is tzedakah. Well, the Gemara doesn't make this point, but the Gemara talks about forcing people to give tzedakah, and Tosfos there asks, hey, wait a second, the Torah talks about the reward you get for giving tzedakah. So why is that okay? So I wrote an article in Beis Yitzchak about this years ago, which I'd have to look up to figure out what the answer was, because I don't really remember. So he says, L'chora, that should be the point here too. You can't force a guy to put a mezuzah because the Torah tells you what the reward is going to be. V'ayim prima gadim, etc. V'shaz yot she'in mezuzah pepischo v'yesh lo b'yis acher m'chuyiv hu latzeis. In fact, he even adds in that if you don't have a mezuzah on your doorway and you have another house to go to, you got to go. He says, even if it's Shabbos and Yantif, you got to go. You got to go to the other house. Assuming you can't put the mezuzah on the house that you are in now. So that would imply that it is a chiyuv on the person as opposed to a chiyuv on the house. Meaning if it's a chiyuv on the house, what does it help that you go into a different house, right? Your house is still mezuzahless, right? So that requires some further thought as to what exactly is that mitzvah. Okay. All right, so let's go on to, in fact, the Rabbi Akiva Eger has, the Piskei Tshuva Gimel, raises the question of if you have a choice between a mezuzah, sukkah, or a lulav. So maybe this would make a hilchos sukkah shir. All right, so which one comes first? You got to look up that Rabbi Akiva Eger. So I don't know. I haven't figured out what shirim to give on sukkahs yet, so maybe we'll get that one in. Okay. So then there is base. Okay, so here we actually get to a actual halacha about the placement of the sukkah. It says, Nisinasa betefa chachitzon, that your placement should be on the outermost tefach. Okay? And then the Ramah talks about when you leave, you should put your hand on and say those psukim like we mentioned before. Now this halacha about tefach chachitzon, so The Shach here says, look later on, Rish Pei Tes Sif Beis, where it talks about where on the doorway it should go, in terms of where on the height it should go, and things like that. But we'll quickly talk about it now, because there's not so much to get to, although when one looks at modern-day doorways, there is a significant confusion. So if you go on the source sheet, I think it's the last page in the source sheet, I thought I'd be going in a different order.
Page 7.
Right. Okay, so page 7, so here it talks about, right, when you have wide doorways, sheish lehem tzuras ha-pesach boltos b'tchilasan uvesofan. Actually, that's not the right, that's a different halacha. go to the...
21.
Yeah, no, it's the right... it is the right... right, I want to talk about picture number 22, but that's the top. That's Chaf Gimel, not Chaf Dalet. I don't have Chaf Gimel, so we'll start here. Right, Koven Rak Mezuzah Achas B'Tchila Pesach V'Lo B'Sofa. Right, it's the top line. So we just learned, right, it should be towards the front of the door as opposed to the end. Right, Ach Im HaMezuzos HaRachavos Hein Mekir HaBayis V'Sofen Yesh Mezuzos Boltos Me'etz V'Chedome Shetzire Hadeles Kvuin Behem Yesh L'Kvoa Es HaMezuzah Al Mezuzos HaPesach HaPnimis. Right, but if you have, like you have in picture number 22, you have a wide doorway, but then, right, 21 is a wide doorway, you put it at the front as opposed to the back. But here you have a wide doorway and a doorway on the inside, so then the mezuzah would go on that doorway on the inside as opposed to the outside over there. Right? If it's slanted, then certainly it should be the case. Right? It's number 23. If it's a slanted way in, so certainly it should be on the doorway on the inside, as opposed to in the beginning when you begin to enter the doorway area. Right? So this comes up a lot. In fact, this
23, are there two mezuzahs?
No, he's doing it, he's saying the front one is wrong and the second one is right.
Okay.
Right? 24 actually has two mezuzahs. That we'll get to probably in 2-3 weeks. But, right, so he's just putting it there as a sample. So that is that din. So, in fact, in our... I think I actually did an article. I think on my blog, on my website, I have a picture of the shul, the entryway into the shul kitchen, from the porch into the kitchen, right? That doorway has a thick stone entranceway, and then a doorway on the inside, right? So one could make the case that one would put it on the stone before you get to the doorway, but because there's an actual door frame on the inside, so I'm not sure all posts will agree with this, but, you know, 95% of posts can assume that it should be on the doorway, on the actual door frame on the inside, as opposed to the front of the doorway heading in. Okay? Now, the bigger question, maybe this is easier to describe with a picture, but I didn't find the picture anywhere, is when you have a modern doorway... Here, let me... In the back of this book, he actually has a map of a house, and he goes through the different rooms as to what the halacha should be. So I was looking to see what he does on with regards to this halacha, and it appears to me that he is soser himself, as he doesn't actually discuss it anywhere, and that is here. So if you take a look at number 16, right, so number 16, you see the mezuzah, right, there's a doorway, and then there's the door frame, there's the outer part of the door frame, and the inner part of the door frame, right? So where does it go? Does it go on the, right, the front part or the middle part where it's the most narrow, right? So here he seems to have it on the front as opposed to when it's the most narrow. But elsewhere, oh, on the same page. If you look on the next page over, he has the same thing, but he puts the mezuzah on the middle thick part as opposed to the front part. So I look to see if he has a discussion on this topic. He doesn't discuss it at all. That's not
internal.
Yeah, all internal mezuzahs. Right, but this is going to be the same halacha. This is going to be the same halacha regardless whether it's the outside mezuzah or inside mezuzah, right? Really, they're all the same halachas. They're all considered beisecha. They're all considered the same. The reason you put a mezuzah on an inside room is because that room is considered a house halachically, right? So, right. So it's going to be the same. It's going to be the same halacha. And yeah, but Ricky, you gotta be quiet, okay? Or you can go to my room. Right. So it's got to be the. So I don't know. He doesn't have a discussion as to what the. What the resolution of this is, I don't know. I personally put it the closer one and not where it gets thicker. Plus, I see the thicker part as being sort of a doorstop as opposed to the door frame. I mean, that's the way I conceptually think about it, but I haven't really seen Poskim deal with that particular question. And then there's, just to cover a few more things very quickly, I see we're out of time, we're not going to get on to Resh Pivav, but if we go just, he has a couple of halachos here with regards to the Shmira, the watching aspect of it. So if we go on page 5, right, oh there. Page 5, Lamed Vav, you ask about the Shin Dalad Yud. So there on Lamed Vav, it says, Mitamze, we have the minug to write on the outside Shin Dalad Yud, Kedei Lahav Riach HaSamazikim, to scare away the demons. The Dorshe Rishumos Amru, those that figure out the Rishumos, the sort of the these things, they say, Sheshamze Ramuz Beroshe Tevus Shel Shomer Diras Yisrael. Get it? Shin Dalad Yud, the watcher of the Diras, of the residences of Yisrael, of the Jewish people. Okay, so that's possibly what Shin Dalad Yud stands for. And and then he talks about Lamed Zayin, you shouldn't have the Kavana, we saw that. And then he adds here an interesting, can you add a mezuzah for Shmira? Meaning, I've had this with people, they've asked me about, what about that room? I'd be like, I don't think it's high, I don't think it's obligated to have a mezuzah. And they're like, yeah, but that's like where the bad things are happening. Like, like a boiler room. So a boiler room could quite possibly not be chayv in a mezuzah, depending on how you measure out the room. So like, does the boiler count towards the measure, or does it not count towards the measure? It's like, I don't think it really needs. They're like, but I want my boiler protected, right? So if the room is not mutter, is not obligated to have a mezuzah, is it permitted to put it up there, having in mind that I want it to be shomer? So that's discussed here in Mem, that that it's only considered to the prohibition of having in mind I'm doing this specifically for Shmira is only when it's chayiv in the mitzvah. But if it's not chayiv in the mitzvah, so then it's he says there are some who say it's okay, but there are some who say it's not so okay. I think in our world, I think we would say it's not so okay. Even though I'm in the business and it's great, the more people want to buy mezuzahs, the better. Although not in the current state, because mezuzahs are kind of hard to come by these days. But I don't really not thrilled with the idea of just putting mezuzahs in all of these haphazard places, as we'll see as we'll go along. Mezuzah has its own neshama to it. It has the Shem Hashem, it's Tashmishi Kedusha, and I think we should be fearful about what will come from just putting mezuzahs all over the place, what will come about from it. Like, for example, in our house, we have a doorway into the living room. There's a doorway that goes from the back porch into our living room. We don't have a key, and there's a screen door to it also. I don't think we have a key that works to the door or to the screen door, right? But yet, the Eichlers have left the mezuzah there. There's a mezuzah between those two doors, and I don't have access to get into I don't have access to get in there without smashing the window. So, like, I'm not so thrilled with, like, leaving mezuzah in such places. That's really a wall, la halacha. That's not a doorway, la halacha, but it's never open. So, anyways, we'll see more about this as we go through these halachas, okay? So, we'll stop here. It sounds like I am needed outside the confines of my office now. Okay, have a good evening.